You are listening to ListCast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, leave a comment, or perhaps suggest a top 5 list for us to do on the show, you can drop us a line at listcast5@gmail.com or visit our website at listcast.podomatic.com. Now on with the show. Welcome to ListCast. I'm Josh, and I'm here with Justin. Say hello, Justin.
Hello, Justin.
This is kind of a landmark for us. This is our 25th show, 25th episode. We've made it to 25.
That's a big number in the podcast universe. Yeah. Hey, if this is our last shebang, we're going to go out with some style.
Well, talking about that, we're going to either go on hiatus for a while, or I don't know. We just don't have the time to commit to the shows that we used to, so we're just going to put the show on the shelf for a little while and
let it germinate a little bit.
Yeah, other shows will still be available, but we're just not going to be able to record any new shows unless...
Yeah, we're not saying that the show is canceled. We're saying that the studio has put it on hold to decide its future plans.
Something like that. if you want us to keep going, listeners that we have out there, you know our email address. It's at the front of every show. It's listcast5@gmail.com, or just go to our website at Podomatic. Just shoot us a line. Let us know if you think we suck, or if you think we're good, or we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
If you hate us, let us know that this is a good decision. If you love us or enjoy us and you want us to keep on going, let us know. We'll do it for you.
Yeah, we're just...
if we think there's someone out there, we're going to bring it.
Yeah, we're just two guys with microphones here talking about movies. And the whole point of this whole show was to just have fun. And we've had some fun doing this show. And I think the show grew into a lot more than I ever thought it would be. Had a lot of fun with the show.
We stayed true to our format, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And according to some statistics, there's people out there listening.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you are, thank you for listening. If you are listening to this now, thank you for tuning in and hitting play. We hope you've listened to all of the episodes almost all the way through.
Almost all the way through. And, you know, if you skipped around, that's
okay. We understand.
Yeah. I mean, there was no continuity to our episodes. You could jump around as well. Yeah. So. But, okay, that brings us to our topic. This is a topic we've been avoiding because it's always been a very...
It's more about us than it is about other people might want
to
hear.
It's always been a topic that's hard to define. Mm-hmm. And it's a question that you get asked a lot by people who are trying to get to know you. What is your favorite movie?
Right.
And I've always, have a hard time coming up with an answer. I'm like, I don't like my favorite. I don't know. I don't have.
Yeah. How do you define favorite?
Yeah. I don't have a personal
favorite.
Is it
that you think that is one of the best movies ever made? Yeah. Or is that a movie that you just slap in any old friggin' time and thoroughly enjoy and never be bored? Totally different criteria.
And especially because they always ask for just one.
Guilty pleasures. Is considered.
And I can't narrow it down to just one.
Yeah.
So we don't have to thankfully narrow it down to just one. We have five,
mm-hmm.
which was really hard for me as well. But. Yeah, so personal favorites is our topic today.
And that personal favorites, pretty much like you just said, it kind of encapsulates a lot.
Yeah.
I assume with yours, kind of like mine.
It
might touch into, what might be considered classic film, and then also might delve into just fucking Bubble Boy. Bubble Boy's a fun movie.
Well, obviously you had criteria.
I wouldn't say I had criteria. I just went with what felt right.
Well, I had, a criteria because I'm like, well, how do I define this? I like a lot of...
I'll give you an example.
A lot of good movies.
I did not choose this movie. It was on my list as a potential.
Don't go there. Why? I don't want to know.
I'll bring it up at the end as an honorable.
Okay.
Honorable mention then.
I had a criteria for this because I didn't know exactly how I was going to define what is my favorites, and I decided to go with... longevity, like we did with our movie songs podcast, where I talked about my favorite movie songs.
Things that have stood the test of time.
These are the ones that have stood the test of time, that have hung out throughout the years, and I still like today. Mm-hmm. So these are the movies that I've known about the longest, loved the longest, and I've seen the most of.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a lot of great movies that didn't make it on the list because of that.
Right.
But maybe I'll mention them and we get to best mentions.
Okay. So does that mean I'm going first?
Yeah, you can go first.
All right. I'm going to put as my number five the most recent of any of my selections. And you might find this to be an odd choice, but all of the things that I chose simply by looking at my DVD sleeves. I didn't go online. I didn't do anything like that. I figured if it deserves to be on this list, I own it.
Of course.
I own it already. And although I haven't seen this movie nearly as many times as I've seen the other ones, I think it's a really fucking good movie. And I'll continue to enjoy it as years go on. I'm taking a chance here. It doesn't have the test of longevity that the other ones have had. But here it is. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I consider this a personal favorite. I think this is a really...
I like that movie a lot.
And I would recommend it to anybody.
But I'm surprised that you...
I know, I took a chance on this, and the other ones are a little more safe. But I think this one, I think it's well written, it's sharp, it's witty, it's funny. I think the chemistry between Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr. is spot on.
Well, I like this movie a lot too, but I'm just surprised you wouldn't have left it off the list and choices.
I was trying to throw you a curveball.
That's a curveball.
I would recommend it to anybody. I think it is a really good movie that...
You must have really liked this movie much more than I did.
I think it slipped through the cracks for one reason or another, and I think it will probably continue to stay buried. I don't know why.
It's got an underground status.
It's a different kind of movie. Robert Downey Jr., prior to Iron Man, is not your typical hero. And he's definitely in that pre-Iron Man Robert Downey Jr. phase or feel where he's not a hero. And he's played that way in this movie. I mean, he's the hero of the movie, but he's certainly unconventional. And Val Kilmer just nailed it. Just nailed it. And again, the chemistry is really what plows through this movie. And the dialogue was really sharp.
It's getting way too scary, man. You gotta bail. You gotta get on a flight out of here. Today.
I'm gonna get my screen test Tuesday. I'll go Wednesday.
That doesn't matter.
And go Wednesday.
You're not getting the part.
Fuck off. Don't be a schmuck.
No, I know.
So you're not gonna get the part, Harry.
It's not a long shot. Harry, you're not listening to me. You're not gonna get... Harry! Harry!
What?
You're not gonna get the part, okay? Colin Farrell wants too much money. Do you get me now?
Dabney, he unearths a discovery. New kid, works for cheap, flies him out here, high profile. Parties, screen tests, detective lessons, all of it.
You were just being used. Shave a couple million off of Colin Farrell's price tag. Sorry, Chief, there it is. I'm not gonna lie to you anymore. I mean, I understand if you wanna take a swing at me.
You fuck! You sissy bitch! Ah! Stop!
Don't bother asking Harmony out on your date. She wasn't very happy to find out that you're a liar, that you're not a detective, that you lie.
You told her?
Pick those up. Pick them up.
Why did you tell her?
I didn't have to tell her, man. You know what? I am an idiot because I thought that we were friends.
No, we're not friends.
I was in trouble and you were there for me.
No, I was there protecting.
I was there.
Stop speaking. I was there protecting my employer, Dabney. Hello? He pays me to insulate him from corpses.
I'm not a nice man, Harry. Go home before something bad happens to you.
What, are you threatening me?
No, moron.
What?
Go home before the bad guys do something bad to you.
The bad guys, right, I get it, right, fine.
Merry Christmas. Sorry I fucked you over.
No problem. Don't quit your gay job.
This was written and directed by Shane Black.
Lethal Weapon guy.
Who wrote the Lethal Weapon movies. Yeah. And this was his directorial debut, and I just think he nailed it. Nailed it. Great movie.
That's
like
cool.
I said, I know it's recent. Taking a chance here. But I think it's really good. And I think if I plug this movie in 20 years from now, I'm still going to be like, that movie's fucking great. Love that movie.
Okay. I'm just...
Like I said, the other one's a little safer.
I'm caught by surprise. I like the movie, too. I just...
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I didn't expect to hear that from your mouth.
Yeah.
But okay. So I guess it's my turn now?
That's your turn.
All right, my number five. Okay, I'm going to say this one. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to get out of the way. Okay. This is something that you and I...
I take it this is kind of a guilty pleasure?
No. This isn't guilty.
All right.
Like I said, my list is all about...
All right. That's
longevity.
Fine. Just say it. Put it out there.
The experts.
All right.
Why do we love this movie so much?
It's funny. That's why.
But think about it. Why do we love it so much? It's not great.
No, but, it's not. No, but it is.
What is
funny.
It about this movie? What is it? This movie was made in 1989. It starred John Travolta before he had his breakout success again in Pulp Fiction, and Aries Gross, who nobody
remembers.
And the only thing people do remember about it, if they remember at all, is that Kelly Preston and John Travolta met.
I don't think anybody really knows that. We know that because we've seen the movie.
But the experts. Why do we like this movie? Why do we still watch it today?
I'll give you an idea for that. I think our
But
mother,
I mean, are you surprised by my choice of the
No,
experts?
Not at all. Frankly, being a personal favorite? I can't believe I didn't think about it because it's not on DVD, so I didn't see it. Otherwise, okay. I would have slapped it in there.
Okay.
But I'm glad you brought it up. Our mother once put the question forward to me of, why do I like Paul Simon so much? Why do I like Art Garfunkel so much? And we started talking about, biologically speaking, how the sound, the timbre, the tone of someone's voice could be pleasing to the ear, you know? And her ear is built differently. Other people certainly appreciate their music, obviously, but there's something about the genetics of her eardrum that find the sounds of their voices
soothing
and just wonderful. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that in mind, there's something, even though it's not like Oscar-worthy dialogue, there is something about the dialogue in that movie that is almost rhythmic and just, it flows in a way that is tonally familiar, like inside to us, and it works for us.
What it is?
It just speaks to us on a certain level that goes beyond understanding.
When we were growing up, we saw a lot of movies on HBO.
Sure, we saw it in heavy rotation as a kid. Obviously,
yeah, there was a lot of other movies that we saw around the same time, but this one stuck, and I always wondered why this one, and it was the first movie that we ever recorded the audio of. That's something that we do nowadays. Yeah. It's much easier. But back then, it was a lot harder when you had to actually tape record the speaker of the TV. And this was the first thing we did this with.
Why
did we choose to do it with this one, of all movies? It was just...
I think one of the reasons why it stuck with us, particularly as kids, is that it, as a matter of structure, it's built on moments. Literally, each scene stands on its own and kind of has a beginning, middle, and an end, and a punch.
Yeah.
And for a kid, unlike a movie, let me try and think of an example. Star Trek II, as an example, which we also watched a lot growing up, is not that way.
No.
If you cut to the scene, for example, on the space station when David and his mom are talking, I could really... just get up and go away. I don't really care.
Get up and go to the bathroom.
It's part of the continuing plot line.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different on a structural level. The experts, each scene stands on its own. It does connect to the plot, but it's almost like a little mini movie. And it's got its own joke. And for the attention span of a kid, bang, 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 it works. And I think that's another one of the reasons why it works.
Okay, pal, what's up?
Hello, fellas.
My name is Bob Smith. I'm opening a new nightclub, and I'm very interested in you.
For what?
To manage my club.
Eat me.
Daryl's trying to bust us. I told him tonight I wanted my own club. He's probably got this guy to put us on.
You think Daryl's bright enough to blow something this elaborate?
Let's play with this guy. Oh, yeah? Oh, gee, a club sounds great. You know, you sound really sincere about this and everything. Could you tell us something about it?
Look, I know that this is unorthodox, and I understand you're being skeptical, but just hear me out.
Shall we?
I don't have anything better to do.
Cool. So, tell us.
This is just the startup money. Salary will be $1,000 a week.
Each?
Each.
Good.
Room and board thrown in for free.
What about wheels?
Well, you'll both be big wheels. In fact, you'll run the place.
No, a car, transportation.
Oh, wheels! Yeah. Oh, wheels, yes, of course. Yeah. Yes, yes, you'll have wheels. Now, the last thing is simply that you need to be ready to leave by plane before dawn.
Well, wait a minute, leave by... This place isn't in New York?
Look, come and try it for a week. If you don't like it, you can come right back to New York and you can keep the startup.
Wait a second, where is this club?
The idea is to bring New York-style clubs to the Midwest.
So we want to open the first one in a small town. Indian Springs, Nebraska.
Cool.
But the humor is not deep. Very, very blunt and in your face. Yeah. Simple, but in my opinion, brilliant. Hilarious.
It's not the fact that she broke up with me, but the fact that she wrote it on toilet paper. I mean, that says something that's not in the note. I mean, the movie has got a lot of great jokes.
Of course it does.
And I still, my inability to define it stupefies me. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why. How many years later? Over 20 years later? And this movie is still with us today.
It's...
And it was even considered back then a B-movie.
Yeah.
Why is this...
It's hard to pigeonhole. Yes, it's a comedy. Mm-hmm. But it's not a common comedy. Mm-hmm. It's the whole plot of the movie is a dramatic plot taken humorously.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's tons of reasons why it's funny. There's a lot of great dialogue in it.
It's just of all movies, something that was 20 years ago with John Travolta. It's just and something he
those two guys, they had fantastic chemistry.
Yeah, I talked about that in our you weren't there for our episode about buddy movies. Mm-hmm. That was my number one choice for buddy movies.
Those two had mad chemistry.
Yeah.
Mad chemistry together. And then their supporting characters were very well
like cast. The chemistry in Ishtar. Mm-hmm. You believe that these guys have been friends for like a really long time.
You're back.
Yes, I am back.
You want to know what happened?
No.
My friend?
he deserted me. Went back to New York.
Really? Yeah.
That's terrible.
But that particular one was not about the dialogue. It was about the two of them and their rapport and their chemistry. How great was that? You know, tie a yellow ribbon.
I haven't heard that in years. We could just quote the movie.
I know, we could just
we could do the whole thing.
Okay, let's see, since this is our final show, let's see if we can do the Checkers scene. You know where I can find a good burger around here?
You know where you could get a good burger around here?
Yep, Beef Burger Boy is the best in town.
Where is it?
Okay. Now, you go down this way. You see that picket fence down there?
Yeah.
Well, you go down that picket fence, or ignore the picket fence. Put it out of your mind.
All right.
You go on beyond there, and you go a block.
Okay.
Maybe a block and a half. And right there, you turn right.
No. You turn left.
You turn right.
You go straight ahead.
Well, you go straight ahead, it's over in there. You can't miss it.
You can't miss it.
Uh-huh. Thanks a lot, guys. Okay. See you later. Should be easy to find. Yeah, straight, left, right, whatever.
But anyway, about the experts, before we say farewell to the experts for now, for the listeners out there, if you've seen this movie, let us know. We want to know if there's other people out there who know this and like this movie like we do, because it is not available anywhere, and the only reason you would have seen it is...
It was on rotation on HBO.
Is if you saw it probably around the time we did, because I don't even see it on TV today.
No, they don't play it now. Mm-hmm. I'm sure John Travolta's reps have asked it not to be played.
If I met John Travolta,
the first thing I would tell
him. I would thank him. Yeah. Thank you for making this movie. We love it.
If I met Dave Thomas, I would bring this up.
The director?
He directed it. Dave Thomas is a comedian in his own right. Of course, people have no idea about this movie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was a funny guy.
Yeah. And I'm sure they would all, you saw that?
Yeah.
And it's something like they wouldn't expect, but I'm like, thank you so much for making it, because we love it so much.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people in it. Rick Dukeman, people may not know his name, but they know his face. Kelly Preston, Charles Martin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a number of people in it. Aries Brose. He's not an A-list actor or whatever, but he's a working actor. He's out there. You might recognize his face. So, you know, Travolta is obviously the big star in the movie, but he wasn't a huge star at that time. I mean, he was well-known, obviously. He did Grease and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't like the powerhouse that he is now, commanding $15, $20 million a movie. So.
Yeah. Well, okay. We spent a lot of time on the experts.
All right.
Number four for you.
Okay. This is where order... you know, gets a little more difficult. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was definitely my five. The rest of these are kind of interchangeable. Heat. Robert De Niro.
You're surprising me with your choices.
Al Pacino. Heat
I love Heat. Heat's excellent.
It's so fucking awesome. It's not something I can pop in every day,
no,
like you can with The Experts, but it is one of my personal favorite movies. It is really fucking good. If I have the time and, you know, the mental kind of freeness to sit down and let myself be sucked in, this movie is great from start to finish. It does go a little long with when they go into the subplot with their driver, Dennis Haysbert. I like
him. It's cool that they do.
Other than that, even though those are perfectly fine scenes, it just kind of takes you a little bit out of the movie.
Yeah.
But the rest of it is great.
Well, they spend time setting up his character and he just gets shot in the head.
I know, he gets blasted right away.
Yeah.
This movie is so epic and so awesome. It is filled with actors that are headliners in their own right, doing supporting roles and owning. Val Kilmer in this movie kicks ass. He's Val Kilmer. This was back when Val Kilmer actually meant something. You know, now he's kind of turned himself into a joke at this point. Like a fat joke. But he got real fat.
He's not that fat.
He got fat. But he just like gave up. He just doesn't care anymore.
What movie is he? Is he like that?
There's something new he's in. I don't know the title, but he's fat. He was fat in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
He was a little.
He was a little chunky. That scene where he's laying down on the ground when he got shot, you see his big old tubby belly.
It's a little full. I wouldn't say he's fat.
In either case, man, this was back when he was. This is, I believe, shot
before or after The Saint.
This was, I think, after The Saint, but back to back with Batman Forever.
Yeah.
So you imagine this was. This was Kilmer at his peak.
Yeah, this is when he was.
And he took on this supporting role and owned. His plot in this movie could have been a movie in of itself. Every character's plot could have been a movie in of itself.
Yeah.
And the movie's like 2.5-3 hours long. But every minute of it is fully engrossing. It is just absolutely. It's an epic crime drama. It is just absolutely awesome.
Pretty fucking great. Albert! What's wrong with you? You drag me here. Waste my time like this. You saw a guy on the street who's an ex-con.
That's right.
Well, I am over fucking well. What do you want for that, a junior G-man badge?
Look here, man. You gonna make the call on them poisons or what?
Is you kidding me?
Hey, this, I'm telling you, man. This slick is no motherfucking joke, man. You know what I'm saying?
Say what? Say what?
What?
You said slick. What does that mean?
Slick. That's what he calls people. Slick.
And tell me about him.
About 6 feet tall. A lot of jailhouse tats. Got a big ass peacock right here.
What's his name?
Chirito. Michael Chirito.
I can't go into it too much without just going into the plot. But it's a really fucking good movie.
Yeah.
And
Heat, like The Postman, is a movie that I can pop in like maybe once every year.
Yeah.
If I really am in the mood to be absorbed into something.
Yeah, that's the kind of the trick.
For a long time.
Unlike The Experts, which I can just pop in at any
time. Any
time.
Scene, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, this is something, you know, you kind of got to be in the mood to get sucked in. It's not something you just watch on the side.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. So, anyway, that's my 4. What's your 5?
My number 4.
That's what
you ever noticed? Have you ever listened to our past shows? You can never remember what number I'm on. Have you ever noticed that before?
I don't really fucking pay attention. Okay. I'm only listening to myself.
You never listen to me anyway.
I don't know. What were you saying?
Exactly.
That was a joke.
Okay, I got it. My number 5 was The Experts.
Yep.
So my number 4 is going to be The Princess Bride.
Oh, all right.
Again, going with longevity.
Sure.
The Princess Bride, I came to... around the same time of Star Trek, all of Star Trek. Like I was probably about 6 or 7 years old when I was kind of aware of Star Trek. Star Trek was probably a little bit before, but I have a very distinct memory of when being made aware of The Princess Bride. You probably don't remember this. I think you were there. It was probably around I was around 6 or 7 years old. We went to the grocery store with our parents, and we, you know, this is in Albertsons when they had a video section, and Mom and Dad were renting a movie, and Mom wanted to rent The Princess Bride. Of course, we were totally against it because it sounded like a girl movie.
Right.
And we were, you know, like, oh, this is going to be stupid, blah, blah, blah. And of course, it turned out to be excellent. It turned out to be what it is, which is a modern classic almost.
Sure.
And since I was made aware of that at such a young age, and the fact that I've seen it so many times, and the fact that this movie is incredibly quotable.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody likes to quote
it. See? The cliffs of insanity!
I don't know, I think it means what you think it means. I mean, you see what I mean? You don't have to...
He didn't fall?
Inconceivable. You see what I mean? You don't even have to set up the scene. Everybody knows what you're talking about. Yeah. That's how quotable this movie is. And almost how pitch perfect it is, too.
Sure.
It's like Star Wars, for example. Star Wars had that classic hero's journey mythos, you know, where right. it's setting up the clear-cut villains, clear-cut good guys back. This movie's the same thing. Right. It's a fairy tale.
Yeah.
It's using that to the letter, using it to the T. You got the good guy, the bad guy, clearly drawn out. I don't know what else it's a classic story told beautifully.
Oh yeah.
And I've also read the book. And it's a great book as well.
Mm-hmm. This is the same guy that did Butch Cassidy and the
Yeah, it's William Goldman.
Yeah. He's an excellent awarded screenwriter.
Yeah.
Novelist, obviously.
Yeah, it's just it's a great movie. It's funny. It's got drama. It's got swordplay. It's got everything you'd want in a movie.
Fencing, fighting, revenge, true love.
To blame. To win all to blame means to love.
But that's not what he said. He distinctly said to blame. And as we all know, to blame means to bluff. Huh? So you're probably playing cards and he cheated.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Get back, witch!
I'm not a witch, I'm your wife. But after what you just said, I'm not even sure I want to be that anymore.
You never had it so good.
To love. He said to love, Max.
Don't say another word, Valerie.
He's afraid. Ever since Prince Humperdinck fired him, his confidence is shattered.
Why'd you say that name? You promised me that you would never say that name.
What? Humperdinck?
Ah!
Humperdinck! Humperdinck! Humperdinck!
Stiegen!
Humperdinck! Humperdinck! Humperdinck!
I'm not listening!
Love lies expiring, and you don't have the decency to say why you won't help.
Nobody's hearing nothing.
Humperdinck! Humperdinck!
This is Buttercup's true love. If you heal him, he will stop Humperdinck's wedding. Shut up! Wait. I make him bear the Humperdinck suffers?
Humiliations galore.
I did a lick, Baldanation. That is a noble cause. Give me the 65. I'm on the job.
Bye-bye.
Have fun storming the castle. Think it'll work?
It'll take a miracle.
Yeah, so.
Good choice. Modern classic. Very well put. Modern classic. Okay.
You're number three.
Going a little safe here. Okay. The Day the Earth Stood Still.
I knew it. See, this is what
my number one.
This is something I would expect from you right away.
This one.
I know you have a boner for this movie.
This is a fucking fantastic movie. It is the best science fiction movie ever made.
Well,
that is my personal
opinion.
According
to you.
The best science fiction movie ever made.
Some people would say Blade Runner is the best science fiction movie.
It's not.
I'm just saying.
The Day the Earth Stood Still.
I know you said this in the past. I know you think it's the best science fiction movie.
It is.
It's
the granddaddy of them all, man. It is
a good movie.
It was such a beautiful marriage of a sci-fi idea, you know, brought to Earth and made accessible. It was so simple. Star Wars, as awesome as it is a bit more complex. There's kind of a lot going on. You know, you got the Empire, you got to understand the politics, all this, blah, blah, blah. Great stuff. Fantastic stuff. Day the Earth Stood Still, damn fucking simple. An alien has come to Earth to deliver a message.
It must have come a long way. About 250 million of your miles. Naturally, we are very curious to know where it is you come from.
From another planet. Let's just say that we're neighbors.
It's rather difficult for us to think of another planet as a neighbor.
I'm afraid in the present situation, you'll have to learn to think that way.
The present situation?
I mean the reason for my coming here.
We're very curious about that, too. Would you care to talk about it?
I'd be glad to. Not now, of course, with you alone.
Oh, perhaps you'd rather discuss it personally with the President.
This is not a personal matter, Mr. Harley. It concerns all the people on your planet.
He got a little sidetracked. That's it. That's all it's about.
Did you mention that you're talking about the original?
Oh, yeah. I should clarify.
Some people might not be aware.
This is the 1950s original movie directed by Robert Wise, starring Michael Rene as Klaatu. And the woman who played the woman in the movie. She just recently... something Noel, something. She just passed away.
Okay.
Just recently. It's just... You used the term pitch perfect when you talked about another movie.
Princess Bride.
Princess Bride. Mm-hmm. This movie, in my opinion, is pitch perfect. They just got it right. Now, mind you, it was made in the 50s, so it's going to feel different. But based on those 50s ways of making movies, you know, single shots, that kind of thing, whatever, the characterizations nailed them. Mm-hmm. The dialogue was great. There was suspense. There was danger. There was little just twinges of humor here and there. Very smartly written. Very smart.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard
it's not too long. It doesn't overstay its welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Just excellent.
And I remember someone mentioned The Day the Earth Stood Still. I think it was when the remake was coming out. Somebody had mentioned, we were talking about it, and I mentioned how good the original is, and I hoped it, you know, this one would stand up to that. But I mentioned how good the original was and how much I liked it. And the person I was talking to was much younger than I was, and he was mentioning that, that movie, I've seen it. Oh, the special effects are like, there's like a string on the spaceship. And I was like, no, there isn't. No, there's not. But, you know, when you think about it, you're like, there's not even a whole lot of effects in the movie.
Not really. Science fiction doesn't have to be about spaceships fighting.
No, I mean...
This was a science fiction idea.
I mean, I was thinking about it. It's like, you know, they show the ship land, and then the ship's on the ground the whole time. But this movie isn't about special effects. It never was.
It was about an idea.
But, I mean, it just... It shows a generational thing.
Oh, yeah.
And how people growing up in today's world would expect a flashy movie.
Oh, yeah.
And even if it wasn't particularly flashy, to be flashy, like they tried to do in the remake.
Right.
Which wasn't necessary.
Yeah,
but.
That was clearly a case of interjecting action where there was none needed.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's my three.
Okay.
What's your three?
I'm going to go with Steel Magnolias. This is on your list?
No, that's a good one. I didn't think about that.
I'm glad I'm getting the ones that you didn't think about. That's good. So we're not
overlapping. I'm glad you... Yeah, I didn't even
Steel
think
Magnolias.
Arguably one of the most quotable movies of all time.
It is very quotable, but this is a movie that was introduced to me at a very young age, just like all of the other ones.
Mm-hmm. And I fought like the plague not to see...
No, it's just amazing.
Thought, oh my God, she's watching it again.
This is our mother.
And I'd walk by, and no way would I get caught into that.
This is our mother, you know, who likes Sally Field, but as a woman, she likes movies with strong female characters.
Well, you know, it's sappy and all that, so naturally she was drawn to it.
Sure. But, you know, it's a really great movie about the bonds of friendship.
Sure.
Despite the fact that they're women, that it doesn't matter. It's about friendship. And since I was introduced to it at a very young age, of course, I fought like hell not to like it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see something over and over again, and you get past that superficial female exterior, you get to see the movie within and see what a... Like, wow, this is really good. And I wouldn't have admitted this when I was younger, that, oh, I like this movie, Steel Magnolias.
Mm-hmm.
But now... I can say, you know, this is one of my favorite movies because I've seen it so many times and it still holds up today and I can quote the hell out of it.
You know, that movie almost fits in the same sort of structure style that The Experts did, where each scene is almost a mini movie unto itself and kind of hooks you. So once you finish that scene, which, you know, only lasts a couple minutes, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You're totally absorbed because you just thoroughly enjoyed that experience. Unlike sitting in on another movie, let's say Blade Runner, since we just talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
You jump in on that, you just sit down for 5 minutes and you've never seen it before, and you're like, fuck this. What the fuck's going on? This is different. Just like The Experts, you sit down for 5 minutes and they've got you because each scene is so well built.
Sammy Dwayne DeSoto, what is this in my Frigidaire?
Bear.
I don't care what you do in your refrigerator, but you will not keep liquor in mine.
Oh, Annelle, for Christ's sake.
Who?
Christ.
Who did you say?
Christ.
Are you speaking of our Lord? Is that whose name you're taking in vain?
That's the one.
Oh, well, I am sorry, Sammy, But I'm not about to spend the next 50 years of my life with someone who I'm not going to run into in the hereafter.
Oh, Nell, goddamn it.
I think we should pray.
Oh, I'd rather eat dirt.
But yeah, good choice, man.
The way it was introduced. Mm-hmm. I just can't believe that a movie that was loved by my mother, of all things, mm-hmm. and the fact that she watched it a lot.
As and what's regarded as a chick flick.
Exactly, is the fact that I've seen it a lot. So
we may very well have seen it more than she has.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. You know, and you know, you almost want to thank them. You know, thank you for making me watch this. You know, but it's just amazing to me how some movies will stick with you and for reasons you don't understand.
Well, good choice. Good choice. All right, so we're on to my two.
Yeah.
All right. Legend. Now, I know you have not finished this movie. You've tried. Keep in mind,
you really consider this a personal favorite.
I fucking love this movie. There are two versions of this movie. I don't know which one you attempted to watch.
I think it was the director's cut.
Okay, that's probably what I would have told you to watch, since you borrowed it from me. But I remember I was working at a video store and was just kind of, because we kind of had the ability to pick and pull a few movies off the shelf and put them on. And I came across this because it's got a really cool cover. You know, it's got this, the devil kind of and all that, and this very fantasy look to it. And I thought, Tom Cruise? What is this?
Isn't Tim Curry the devil?
Tim Curry was, you know, I don't know if he's the devil, but he's evil. He's darkness. Darkness, that's what they call him, darkness.
Okay.
And I think they call him darkness. Anyway, I was just like, what is this? So I just pop it on, and mind you, I'm working, so I'm kind of only getting snippets of it, seeing little bits. Visually, it is absolutely awesome. Ridley Scott has a beautiful imagination, and visually speaking, this is a fantasy movie come to life. Just gorgeous. So that immediately caught my attention. This was the theatrical cut. So this had the score by Tangerine Dream in there, which is extremely 80s, which kind of has its own charm in its own way. And this was pan and scan, video cassette, the whole deal. But still, I was intrigued enough to where I bought it. So I bought it, took it home, and just got totally caught up in it. What a cool fantasy movie, man. How many fantasy movies can you think of off the top of your head? Even bad ones. I can't think of shit. Lord of the Rings is new. Can't even count that. There's none. Fantasy movies just aren't made like that. Truly fairy tale fantasies with fairies and goblins and the devil and all. It was so unique. I had not really seen anything quite like it. And it was dark. It was an adult fantasy movie.
Jack! It was lovely. Like a dream.
What you did is forbidden.
Who says so?
It is known, Lily. These are sacred animals.
I don't care.
You risk your immortal soul talking like that.
I only wanted to touch one. Where's the humming bat? It was magic. Thank you. Let me sing to you. I'll chase your fears away.
I was so into it, rewatched the video many times. When the DVD came out, thank God, they actually released the director's cut, which was not just a matter of inserting a scene or two here and there. The director's cut of this movie is vastly different. Ridley Scott made this movie the way he wanted to make it. Jerry Goldsmith did the score for the movie. It was cut differently, it was longer, and the score is a huge change in the movie. But there was a lot of subtext and things in there that he had in there, and definitely more for adults. The studio didn't like it for whatever reason, and they required him to make changes. One of them was to change the score, which was this 80s synthesizer poppy kind of score, and cut a lot of it out, and a lot of the subtext got pulled out. And fortunately, when they released this on DVD, we got both versions.
Was the movie not successful in theaters?
It was not greatly successful in the States. It was a lot more successful overseas with the original director's cut, which at the time they referred to as the European cut. But it was actually just his original cut of the movie, the way he wanted to make it, before the studio really interfered, because they poured a lot of money into this movie. It was not cheap to make. And it was just great. I mean, just from a film appreciator's point of view, to have two versions of the same movie that are so vastly different is really... That's a film school class right there, in how music can change a scene. I could point out to you one scene in specific where the music is the only difference. The shot order is exactly the same, but the music's different. Completely changes the scene. Tells the scene from a different point of view because of the music. It's gorgeous. But the movie as a whole is just... It's great, man. It's fun. It's adventure. It's funny. It's all sorts of shit. And it's a fantasy, which is so rare. I just watched this a couple nights ago. Thoroughly enjoyed it again.
I wish I could add...
I know. I wish you finished it. You, like, stopped it 5 minutes before the ending.
You told
me where you were, and I was like, dude, you were 5 minutes
really?
Away! Yes!
You sure?
You told me you had got to the scene where darkness is like, falling out the window, and he's holding on with, like, horns or something, like, being pulled back. You told me.
Well, this just shows you that...
You just didn't care.
This is just a matter of taste, you know?
I guess so.
I just didn't appreciate it.
I watch it, but... Anyway, okay, so that puts us to your number two.
My number two are safe choices.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with the Star Wars movie. I'm going to say Empire Strikes Back.
All right. I intentionally did not go there.
Well, I have to. Going by my criteria, all right, I have
to. That's fine.
And I could just say all of the Star Wars films.
I think you can almost lump the three together.
All of them. I'd seen them. You would watch over and over again. Obviously. And, you know, it did change. Growing up, my favorite was Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, when you get older, it morphed into The Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
And you realize, okay, that's the more complete story, the one with the most character. It's you know, it's got a lot of dark elements in there.
It's
but
just
it,
a better movie.
Yeah, it's just the most well-made of the three. Now I would say that Return of the Jedi is the least successful of the original.
Hmm.
But if you have to go with, okay, what is the best out of those three, it's The Empire Strikes Back. Sure. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. That's really not up for debate.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say about it?
It's awesome.
The IMDb has that top 250 thing. Mm-hmm. It's always on it. All of the Star Wars films are, but sure. The Empire Strikes Back is the highest rated of the Star Wars films, and very well deserving so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why didn't he get Irvin Kershner back to direct more? Because he was still alive.
I don't know.
And he obviously did a good job.
Yeah.
Will he finish what he begins?
I won't fail you. I'm not afraid.
You will be. You will be.
Now, I've heard that it wasn't perceived as that when it came out.
Yeah, I'm sure we are approaching it from
people were disappointed by it at first.
Well, it definitely, definitely have a different feel. Has a different feel than the original.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure from the audience's perspective, first time seeing it, it was probably quite a difference. But obviously, in hindsight, we all know it fucking kicked ass.
Yeah, I mean, it just has all the best elements. I mean, what can you say that hasn't already been said about The Empire Strikes Back?
But I'm totally on board with you there. I just avoided it because it was so obvious. Just like...
Like I said, going by my criteria, I couldn't leave this out. Sure. So there it is.
All right, cool.
So give me your number one.
All right. Well, before I give you my number one, since you just did Empire, I feel this is a perfect time to point out that obviously I'm sure you assume that my number one is Superman the movie. Right? I naturally wanted to put it on there as number one, but
because, I expected it to be on your list
because
but
in
not
our
number one.
Total 25 episodes, I have discussed Superman ad nauseum. I thought it was time to cut it loose. I think anyone who's listened,
oh, now you make that decision,
clearly knows that I'm a Superman fan. And okay, you know what? It's obviously one of my favorites. That really, I'm not even gonna
really one of your favorites. I never heard that.
So whatever. Before. So I just didn't even bother putting it on that list.
Okay.
Just for the same reason that I didn't put Star Wars. It's like, well, do I really need to say that? Okay, so number one, Dune. The original, of course, 1980s, David Lynch, Dune. I spoke when I was talking about Legend about working at that video store.
You found Dune that way?
No.
We saw Dune.
No, I grew up with Dune. Yeah. You know, the 3-hour version, of course, of Dune is what I actually grew up with. But I was talking to a coworker, and he was a sci-fi aficionado as well. And we got onto the topic of Dune. I think we might even have put it up on the video, on the TV, which we had the option of doing. And while talking about Dune, we realized we could just put that in and just really never be bored with it. You know, it may not be something you want to always sit down and watch, but if it happens to be on, we could just kind of plop down and just watch.
Well, this is one of those movies with such strong varying opinions.
Oh, yeah.
There's people who like it, and then there's people who really fucking
downright
hate it.
Loathe it. Obviously, yeah. I'm not one of the latter. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie growing up. I don't know why people find this movie, like, incomprehensible. That is beyond my understanding. It's perfectly clear. And like I said, I grew up with the 3-hour version. So when I bought the DVD, which is it's not even the director's cut. It's what he was forced to cut. But it's what he attached his name to. That movie was foreign to me. I knew the 3-hour version with the 5-minute prologue in the beginning with the, you know, the paintings introducing all the characters and the plot.
4 planets have come to our attention regarding a plot which could jeopardize the spice production. Planet Arrakis, source of the spice. Planet Caladan, home of House Atreides. Planet Gedi Prime, home of House Harkonnen. Planet Kaitan, home of the Emperor of the Known Universe. Send a 3rd stage guild navigator to Kaitan to demand details from the Emperor. The spice must flow.
I just... all that extended stuff. So when I saw the DVD version that had... what's her name? Virginia Madsen as Princess Irulan fading in, I was like... I popped that DVD in and I thought, what the fuck is this? I had no idea what this was. It was like watching the movie again. Totally different. Tons of scenes missing, of course, that I had come to know from the 3-hour version. And but bottom line, I think this movie is absolutely awesome. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's classic, like Day of the Earth is still classic, but it is an excellent movie. I think the soundtrack is awesome. I love all the characters. I think it's a deep, rich story. You know, the Harkonnen stuff is ugly. It was meant to be ugly. You're not supposed to like it, and it certainly achieves that. And I just think it's a really cool movie. It's very different. Just like the books. Very different way to attack sci-fi. You know, with this merge of religion and sci-fi. What an awesome blend. I think it's an awesome
movie. I like the movie too. Obviously not as much as you, but I saw it young and a lot. And because it was introduced, like Steel Magnolias was introduced because of our mom, I was introduced to him because of Dad.
Sure.
So, you know, it's something I just saw a lot of.
I remember putting in that ratty VHS tape a lot with a yellow sticker.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah, right. It just didn't have... I didn't have a lot of opinion on it because movies weren't good or bad. Movies were all good.
Right.
It was just, it's another movie. It's something else to watch. And I think I knew Dune was a little odd, but it was just one of those things, you know? Like, I would watch Ben-Hur. It was whatever. It was something that Dad watched.
I've never really been able to tolerate Ben-Hur.
No, it was just something that Dad watched.
Right,
like,
right.
Mom would watch Steel Magnolias. It's like, they're all movies. Mm. They're all equally movies.
Right.
Equally good. So, yeah. I understand that, but...
Okay.
All your choices have been... Well, not all of them, but... Like, with Heat and with Legend, they're all these big, epic movies.
It just happens to be that. I wouldn't consider Day of the Earth still a big, epic movie.
No, I said... That's why I said almost all of your choices.
Right.
So...
Now, Heat is an epic movie.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that you...
Superman is an epic movie.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been upset if you talked
about... I knew you wouldn't have been upset, but you'd have been like, oh, fuck, here we go.
That's typical. Yeah,
I didn't want to
go. I kind of expected it, so I wouldn't have...
Well, all right, yeah. Moving on, man. Let's hear your number one.
Well, you know, my number one, like I said, it's a safe choice. What's our other favorite set of films besides Star Wars? Star Trek.
Oh, shit. You went that obvious? Really?
I can't not.
Okay, all right.
By my criteria...
Two? or three?
Star Trek 3.
Okay.
By my criteria, I've seen Star Wars and I've seen Star Trek more than anything else in existence.
Sure.
And in terms of rating, I mean, I didn't really rate these, but I had to bring up Empire first because in terms of Star Wars versus Star Trek, I'm a bigger Star Trek fan just because I've loved it the longest, and there's more Star Trek than Star Wars to absorb.
Right.
There's 5 Star Trek series. There's 10, now 11 movies.
Yeah.
There's a billion books. There's just so much to absorb. And you could think that, oh, that's just quantity. It's not quality. But a lot of Star Trek is really great.
Yeah.
So it's not. It's just there's more of it.
Right.
And I've seen it so many times. And, you know, growing up, you know, your favorite Star Trek movie may change over time. I've said, at one time I would have said I liked Star Trek 6 more than any others, or Star Trek 4, or Star Trek 2, but never Star Trek 3.
Yeah.
But getting in, you know, as I got older, you know, I realized Star Trek 3 is kind of like their Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
It's the middle one. It's that middle one of that trilogy. And it's
where everything goes to shit.
It's where everything goes to shit. It's got a lot of dark elements in it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's got a lot of awful things that happen to people. Like, Kirk loses his son. You know, the Enterprise gets blown up.
Yeah.
A lot of dark things happen in this movie. Unlike Empire, it does end on a happy note. But there's some serious emotion going on in this movie.
Help me, Jim. Take me home. Bones, we are. We are home. Then perhaps it's not too late. Climb the steps, Jim. Climb the steps of Mount Solea. Mount Solea? Bones, Mount Solea is on Vulcan. We're home. On Earth.
Remember.
Admiral, docking is completed. Starfleet Commander Morrow is on his way for inspection.
Uhura, get the medics down here. Get them now.
And it's all personal.
Well, I think Empire ends the same way Star Trek 3 ends. Bittersweet. You know, it kind of has that celebrated music at the same time, but they're just about to go off to try and find Han, who they've lost.
Sure.
3 ends with them getting Spock back.
They do get him back.
But they paid a heavy price.
Yeah.
And they all know.
They lost their ship. They committed treason. They
don't
know
what his son.
Kirk lost his son. They don't know what they're going back to.
Yeah.
It is a very bittersweet ending. And to me, when I look back on the series now, I have to say the Star Trek 3 is my favorite. And I would
say definitely, particularly out of the original cast ones, it has almost the most rewatchability to it.
To me, it does now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
2 is almost so heavy, you have to take a break from it.
Star Trek 2, I don't think... it works as successfully on a whole as Star Trek 3.
Slower.
It is a little slower. And like you said, like isolated scenes when we were talking about like that scene on Regular One.
Yeah.
Oh, I can just get up and go do something. It's not that way with Star Trek 3.
Yeah.
To me, it's more fluid.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just the best. And others would say, oh, no, the one with Khan. I like that one. I'm like, well, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
But it's got some good action and, you know, some good moments with Picard and Montalban.
Sure.
But I can't deny the power of Star Trek 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I'm right there with you. Well, since this is our final episode, I do have a couple of honorable mentions. So in no particular order, I'm gonna roll these out. Solaris, the remake.
Yeah.
Really freaking good movie. Did not make my list because I don't know if I would consider it a personal favorite. I just think it's a really freaking good movie.
I agree with you. Yes.
The History of Violence. A really, really good movie.
Okay, that's a surprise.
Again,
I like it a lot.
Not
too.
Something of heavy rewatchability or anything, but it's a really freaking good movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Untouchables almost made my list.
Really?
I thought for sure you'd nail it. So
the Untouchables.
I stayed away. Well, we grew up with that movie.
Oh, I like it a lot, but
just an excellent movie. What a great period movie.
Mm-hmm.
More recent movie, The Fountain.
I have not developed a liking for that.
Really
movie.
Different.
It's different.
The score, I fell in love with the score. I thought it came about, I saw it at a time in my life where I was particularly open emotionally and kind of like emotionally fragile. So that movie just struck a chord with me, you know, about this guy going, you know, depending on kind of how you choose to perceive the movie,
all right.
Particularly the future version of the guy going to such lengths to keep his love true, you know, to this woman, and the extreme lengths that he went, and the ending of that movie is absolutely beautiful.
I'm going to have to check that out again.
Absolutely beautiful. I keep meaning to. Ending. And open to such interpretation, you know. It's just,
Okay,
you're going to laugh.
I had the experts on my list.
You're going to laugh for a totally different reason. Although I had seen this movie before, you kind of reintroduced me to it just as on a fluke, and I've been rewatching this thing a lot lately, and that is Roadhouse. The more I watch it, the more I love it.
You've been watching it without commentary or anything?
No, I downloaded it, downloaded the commentary, burned it to disc with the commentary as an option. I'll watch the movie with the commentary or without, and love both of them equally. That movie is so freaking funny and so enjoyable. It is absolutely a guilty pleasure.
It's got watchability.
It is not a good movie in the traditional sense.
No.
But it is so damn watchable and so unabashedly fun to watch.
Have you been keeping this from me for a while? Because you seem really embarrassed.
I'm kind of embarrassed because it is a bad movie.
Have you really been watching this a lot?
I have been. I'll pop it in and I'll just get into it. And when you watch the commentary, the Kevin Smith commentary, they're just picking out every reason why you just love it. And they have fun in watching it with you. And
oh, yeah.
But in either case, you know, it didn't make the list, but it damn near did because it's...
Roadhouse, wow.
I've just getting sucked into it, so... Well, all right, folks. I think that's just going to do it for us here. It's been a great, fun 25 episodes. We've had a blast, and we really hope to hear from some of you so we have some motivation to keep on going.
Yeah, and hopefully if we come back, we'll have better microphones.
Yeah, we'll sound professional.
Yeah.
Professional.
We'll sound professional. We won't be professional. We'll sound that way.
That's an important distinction.
Yeah.
Well, okay, everybody. If this is it, sayonara. Thank you for listening. And if it's see you next time, see you next time.
All right. Well, I don't have any parting words like that. But yeah, it's been fun. Thanks a lot for listening. If you have been, appreciate it.
Give us an email.
Yes. Just let us know. Let us know who you are, where you live.
Yeah. Let us hear from you.
Yeah, we want to know. You know who we are. Let's let us know who you are. We want to know who's been listening to us all this time.
And to those of you out there that we do listen to, that we know are active fans, thank you for your contributions to everything you've done. And if you're out there listening, best of luck on what you're doing out there. And this is Justin saying goodbye.
And this is Josh. So long.